The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Of all Champions League goalkeepers I've seen, and Karius included, what about the fellow in the goal for Villarreal?
Karius included is the worst thing any Liverpool fan can say. That's the harshest.
Well, Karius was hopeless, wasn't he?
OTB AM, live, weekday mornings from 7:30 on the OTB Sports app.
It was an absolutely seismic weekend in the Hurling Championship, and I'm delighted to say Tommy Walsh is with us to look back and cast an eye forward as well. Tommy, good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jared. All good.
Let's start with Waterford. And I just want to make sure that we do give some time to Westmeath before we wrap this up as well, because that was probably one of the results of a generation. But let's start with Waterford, right? What's going on?
I don't really think there's much going on, to be honest, Jared, because if you go back, like all the build-up for the championship for Waterford was kind of based on the league semi-final and final, where they scored 5 goals against Wexford and 4 goals against Cork. But if you go back to the earlier rounds of the league, like they drew with Dublin, Antrim nearly beat them, and Kilkenny beat them convincingly in Nolan Park. So, like, I don't think Aton has gone too wrong for Waterford at all. I think their fixtures probably they weren't really suitable to them, like playing Limerick in their second game. You know, Limerick are beating everybody in the country nearly at this stage, and then coming up against Cork the last day, Cork, the whole country kind of criticising them that they're criticising, I suppose, their will to fight to win the ball, their will to defend, their will to tackle. I mean, you, I suppose, pummel a team like that, there's only one way really they usually come out, and that's fighting. And that's what Waterford met on last weekend. It was a Cork team that we all know. They have bucket loads of underage medals. They've a good few of them have Munster Championship medals. So these guys, they are good hurlers. It was just, I suppose, to add the other facets to their game. And they did that the weekend. So I don't think a whole lot has gone wrong with Waterford. Like, if you look at, they lost one of their best cornerbacks, Young Daly, in the first round. Like, he was probably their main man marker, very, very fast, and probably his inspiration for a team and a cornerback is putting in last-ditch tackles. Young Daly was like that for that Waterford team. He's gone. And then, you know, up the field, I suppose, in the Tipperary match, they had two super subs coming on, Austin Gleeson and Jamie Barron. Was their starting at the moment. And I just think, outside of Limerick, Ger, every other team, I think, nearly that's in, left in championships, nearly a 50-50 game. Like, even if you look at the Leinster games the weekend or the Munster Championship games coming forward this weekend, both of them, you couldn't really call them. So I don't think a whole lot has gone wrong with Waterford. They're just unlucky the weekend. They had been scoring a lot of goals. Towards against Cork, they conceded 2 goals and only scored in one. So that was probably, you know, probably one of the main reasons that they lost last weekend.
So we maybe overrated Waterford a bit ahead of the championship. Is that the kind of is that what the rest of us are understanding now?
Go look at the All-Star selection most years. Most of them are picked on the All-Ireland final and All-Ireland semi-final. So us as GA people, as GA followers, we kind of look back nearly on the last match or probably the second last match really when we're predicting the future or when we're probably sending out all our plaudits. So I think when people are basing their opinion on Waterford, you know, going on and being probably contenders or even above Limerick in the standings, was based on probably the league semi-final, league final, where they were absolutely wonderful. Scored 5 goals against a Wexford team that I think Wexford were unbeaten in the league at that stage, and a Cork team that was really on the up, and they're after beating Kilkenny convincingly probably in the last 10 minutes down in Páirc Uí in the other league semi-final. So, like, people were well within their rights to build them up. It was just probably they're basing their opinion on the two most recent matches as opposed to probably over a whole season. So, but I think this Waterford team is still very good, Ger. But I just think that all, say, bar Limerick, I think everyone else is nearly a 50-50 game, to be honest.
Do we run the risk then of if this Waterford team is very good but still don't make it out of their group? It's because the group is super competitive. It's like one of the most competitive championships in sport. Do we need to draw conclusions about them, or are you saying actually, look, that's the vagaries of sport? They will come good eventually.
Yeah, I think it's nearly like Champions League at this stage. Like, if you don't make the semi-finals or finals, does it make you a bad team? You could have just run into maybe a bad fixture in the quarter-final or in the earlier rounds. I think that's the way it is in these. Like, you look at Waterford's fixtures, right? all the pressure, as you said, everyone was building them up after the league final, that they were nearly probably first in the standings above Limerick. Now, rewind back a couple of weeks, Limerick weren't after winning probably any league games at this stage. So that, and then coming into the first round of the championship in Welsh Park, their home game, where they had not won a single Munster round-robin game in the previous 2 years when it was based there. And all the pressure was building on them that they were the number one team in the country. But they have no All-Ireland medals. They don't have Munster medals either. So that's huge pressure for a young team, I think. And I thought they dealt with it brilliantly against Tipperary. They didn't come out with the blocks because they were playing the short game. Tipperary were ravenous. People are after, you know, putting them down to probably nearly the fifth team in Munster at this stage. And they came out fighting after a bad start, Watford. They finished very, very strongly. And unfortunately for them then, they met a team that was after having a six-week break. They were on a high, Limerick, in the second round. And they put it up to them for long periods of that game and came back fighting the two late goals. So I think there's plenty of character in that Waterford team, plenty of skill. They've won plenty of things underage. They're league champions. So I think it'll be very unfortunate to go out with this Munster Championship, Gerry, if they do this weekend, because it's out of their hands now. If Cork beat Tipperary, they're basically out on the head-to-head because of the draw last weekend between Clare and Limerick. Like, you know, so I think I wouldn't be drawing any conclusions on this Waterford team, but they would want to be coming out fighting in this last game just to, you know, to keep their profile up and to keep the confidence up. And, you know, at least if they win, well, then they've done everything they can in the last game when the pressure was on. So I wouldn't be drawing much conclusions, no.
So if we're saying that Waterford haven't become a bad team overnight, I guess the same could possibly be said about Cork becoming a great team overnight, and by extension, is there a risk that they actually don't get the job done in Thurles this weekend?
Yeah, well, everybody knows what Cork can do when they have the ball. It's what they do when they don't have the ball. And people, you know, pundits, I think Cork's own people, Hurling people in general, watching the Sunday game or watching the game and live when they're at the games at the weekend, they all came to the same conclusion, that Cork were not defending well. So whether that was tracking back, wing backs, midfielders tracking back, or whether that was, I've seen in a lot of cases, they would go into the tackle but wouldn't make the tackle. So they were kind of just there, in and around. So that all changed the weekend on. When like you say, Shane Kingston came on as a sub, he tracked back a lad right as far as the edge of his own square where his full back would normally be, saved a certain goal. And that's the difference in winning and losing. I know they won by 6 points in the end, but if they'd conceded a goal at that stage, who knows what would have happened. A game can take on a life of its own. We've seen Conor Lehan taking out a sharp puck out. We've seen Seamus Harnedy just winning these, you know, really, really tough balls. They won a lot of high balls as well, Owen. The game has changed. We can all acknowledge that. You have to be able to play the game through the lines and play it long. But the simple basics of the game still have not changed, and that you still have to be able to win your own ball. You would look at Limerick. People rave on about Paul Kinnerk, John Kiely, best kind of systems, best game management in the country. They're still probably the top team at winning their own ball. And you go back to Cork the weekend, Darragh Fitzgibbon was winning it, Harnedy was winning it. So listen, they went back to basics, I think, Cork the weekend with the, you know, bedding in, you know, the new, I suppose, the hybrid game. They're able to play both. So I think for Cork, going forward this weekend, they're playing Tipperary. Tipperary are going to have a bee in their bonnet. They're not going to want to go through a Munster Championship without a win. And they even have the slight chance themselves of going through if scoring averages worked away and results got away. So a massive game for Cork this weekend, though. But can they do it two games in a row? That would be the question, I'd say, Kieran Kingston. And it was great, even Kieran Kingston getting the yellow card. Like, I know, listen, you'd say you can draw your own conclusions, but it's still a sign to the team, a sign to the public. These boys mean business. They're going to die in their sword here today. And I thought, as a complete performance from management right through the players, I thought Cork showed up last weekend.
How much of an impact can that have on the team when the manager is showing that amount of physical energy? Like, we're seeing it quite a lot with the Derry footballers at the moment, and Rory Gallagher kind of being way more animated than his opposite number on the sideline pretty much every week. Is that something that the players take much notice of?
Well, I think there's the standards to be set, and there's there's body language that you can display that will, you know, that this man means business. This man is serious. And that could be the manager, it could be the kit man, it could be the corner forward, it could be the last sub. What I would say about it is that was natural the weekend on. So Kieran Kingston, I could bet me, you know, bottom dollar that he did that naturally. There was no game plan of his. I have to show the lads that I mean business the weekend. That was just him showing his he's a very passionate Cork man, as all them Cork hurling people are. And he was just showing that naturally. I think when it changes, you know, when someone just does it for show, right, I need to show the lads here today and I'm going to jump up and down the line, that's different. It has to be natural. Like, you look at Davy Fitz, when Davy was over Clare and he was over Wexford, it's natural. Like, it's not for show. That's the way they are in normal life. So I think once you're doing it for the right reasons, I think it definitely has a positive impact on your team. Yeah. And it's not just the manager, it's everybody. And it doesn't have to be jumping up and down on. It can be just when you look into his eyes, you know he's serious, you know he's going to die. Like Lahan, I thought the weekend, like, this guy was dropped off the panel last year. He could have called back onto the panel this week. He could have sulked. He could have said, no, listen, I'm not going to bother you now. You didn't show me any respect last year. No, he came back. He's after fighting tooth and nail during that league campaign to get back in that team. He's still doing it. I think he scored 3 points the weekend. But it was even the hooks and the blocks that he's shown. That's inspiration to the team when a forward is doing that, especially a forward that you would normally display with scoring points, 4 and 5 points. Now he's putting in the hard yards. He cut out that sharp hook out back over the bar. They're the kind of small things that have huge impacts on a team. I think Lahan as well is, or not Lahan, Harnedy, sorry, as well, Owen. Like, Harnedy is just like a man possessed, and he always has been. And in, you know, Mark Landers, you hear him, he was shouting for him to be called back and, you know, push maybe centre forward. You put your main men up the middle. And Harnedy is definitely a middleman. I know myself, from playing the wing, you can be out of the game for long periods. Then if your team is going well, like, you can pop in, score 3 and 4 points, and it looks like you're going well. But when the team isn't going well on, and you're on the wing and you're out of the game, it looks like you're, you know, what's this fella doing? He's off his game tonight. So when you're in the centre, you're the fulcrum. You can make it happen in there. And Harnedy is the man that makes it happen.
We've seen him
out there on Sunday.
What did you think when Horgan was taken off?
Well, that what I thought of it was that that's a management that wants to win a game. That your loyalty has to be to the team, Ger, not the players. Patrick Horgan, and listen, I should have said congratulations to Patrick Horgan, like a top scorer in the All-Ireland Senior Hurling Championship. What a feat for a man. Like, he's up there. Like, you look at the past guys that were on top of that list. Yeah, Joe Canning, Henry Shefflin, I think, was before him. Sure, Eddie Kerr, Christy Ring, maybe even Nicky Rackard. Like, all the giants of the game were on top of this list. And now Horgan, Glen Rovers, probably the second Glen Rovers man out to be, which, you know, on top of that list, which is a huge feat for that club down in North Cork. But I thought it was, for a management, if you want to win things, your loyalty has to be the team, not a player. Yes, you can have a word with him after the game and say, you know, listen, keep it, you know, knuckle down on training during the week and we'll pick this team during the week based on, you know, you've done it in the past and I'm sure you will do it again. But the loyalty, first and foremost, has to be the team. And I thought the Cork management showed that on Sunday. Unfortunately, he was after missing, you know, one or two frees and, you know, he wasn't probably having the overall impact. Right, until Timo Matney as well. Like, they dropped Tim O'Matney. He's been a mainstay in this Cork team for the last couple of years. And I know Anthony Daly felt that Tim O'Matney is playing the half-back. He was more of an offensive player up in the forwards or even midfields, because you look at the Limerick half-back line, like, Hannon stays there most of the time. Dermot Burns stays there most of the time. Now, when they have the ball, they shoot forward, but they're not shooting forward for options, really, from looking at it on television. And Tim O'Matney in the half-back line was gone forward too many times for my liking for a wing back. So it's up in the forest, he can do that.
Yeah.
And he massive impact when he came on.
The conundrum for Clare this week is, what do you do with your team? Do you go all out to keep the form going and get the confidence high, or do you decide that there are massive challenges coming very soon afterwards and not pick a full team? What would you do?
Yeah, but it reminds me back to watching the NFL's game. Tom Coughlin, when the New York Giants, they won the Super Bowl, say it was 2007, it was probably his first one. And going into the last game of the regular season, they were through. And I don't think by winning the game or the result would have any impact on their fixtures ahead. They were in whatever position they were in. And Tom Coughlin, who was the coach of the Giants, he said at the time, I'm after telling these guys all season, pre-season, during the regular season, that you go out in every training, you go out in every game, and you give it everything. Don't leave anything on the line. Do I suddenly go up to them before their, you know, this will be the one game before their biggest championship game of the season? Do I go up them up there now and maybe pick a dummy team or tell them, listen, go on, but take it handier today, we don't want any injuries? He said, it's not like a light switch. You can't just change your you know, what you're telling the team or the messages you're sending the team in one game or before the most important game of the season. And he said, no, he picked his best team, they went out. I'm not sure whether they won or not, but they went on anyway, they won the Super Bowl. But that was his thinking after the season. That was what was going through his head. And I would say the same thing for Clare the weekend, right? Only one team came in the All-Ireland. Clare haven't won a Munster Championship since 1998. So they'll go out the one game before they play the Munster Final and kind of, you know, run the risk of letting laziness creep into the team. Because if you do it once, Alex Ferguson often said it, if you do it once, you can do it again. So if Clare go out half-hearted out to this game this weekend, well, they can do it again then in the Munster Final. You're setting in you're letting a laziness step in. So I would expect Brian Lawan. Now, if you have Niggles or Jer, I would expect them, you know, leave them. To have common sense approach, obviously, and you'd have to leave them to the Munster Final. But everybody else, if you're fit to play, you're playing and you're going out to win that game.
He's done some job, Lawan, under all of this, the pressure and the scrutiny that the row with Davey brought and the national attention and everybody disappearing last year through COVID. Everybody's back, or nearly everybody's back, and the team is playing really, really well.
It is, and Lawan, I always, you know, you could tell by the way Lawan played the game himself, but I was at the Clare game earlier on in the year and I saw it was Clare and Tipperary, I think, wasn't it? And basically, the ball went into one of the guys in the forwards. I won't name his name, right? And he kind of half-hearted went for the game. And I seen Lawan. He was ravenous. He was not happy at all. Within 30 seconds, that player was taken off. And to me, they are set a standard. And your man had been hurling quite well. And was, like, say, an Ireland manager would say, listen, right, he missed that one, but he's playing well in the game. He'd come on, he'd score another pint or two. But no, he was gone. And to me, that sets a standard that them Clare players know whether they're subs or whether they're playing. I have to give it, you know, Holly when I'm on this field. And if I'm not, I can be taken off. It reminds me of Brian Cody. It reminds me of Jim Gavin from Dublin with all them legends that he had in the Dublin team. The rest of the country wondering why they weren't playing. He wasn't playing them. And it just sets standards, you know. And even taking off Patrick Park in the weekend, like most people might say, well, listen, geez, if we need a score or a free in the last minute, who's going to take it? It's Patrick Horgan. No, there's a standard there, and it's set. So I think that's what Brian Lawan sets in that Clare team and panel. And I think that's what he's getting out of them. Like even the weekend, I'd say, Ger, some of them didn't hurl as well, but up stepped Tony Kelly then. He shoot the lights out, you know. So I think different players are stepping up on different days, but one thing remains constant, their work rate, their commitment.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere. Visit Hyland.com.
We could really do, like, as neutrals, with Clare beating Limerick in the Munster final to just bring a bit of doubt to the eventual outcome to what's going to happen this year.
Yeah, sure. Listen, I suppose everybody likes seeing the underdog. No different than when Limerick won their first one, I suppose. Most people would have been shouting for him to, you know, to win their first All-Ireland since 1973, and even what went on in, I suppose, 94 and 96 with that great Limerick team that many people would have loved to see All-Ireland medals. So and Limerick won their first one, people were delighted for them, and it'd be no different from this Clare team. You know, they came on in 2013, a lot of these guys, and it looked like they were going to, you know, shoot the lights out for many years to come, but we haven't, you know, they haven't been in around the house much since. So yeah, it would be lovely to see Clare win it. But as a lot of people say, Limerick will probably be only bet once. So when do you want to beat them, Ger?
That, I mean, that is the question, isn't it? And like, even down a man, they're still able to draw a game against a team putting in their best performance in maybe the last since 2013. Like, yeah. You know,
would respectfully though, would Alex Ferguson not disagree with what you just said there, Tommy? If they can be beaten once, they can be beaten again.
Yeah, no, I think so. Once they're beaten. Oh, yes. Sorry, yeah. Absolutely. Like, if you go back to 2000 and the year they were beaten, 2019, like, everybody raves on about Kenny Beatman in the All-Ireland semi-final. But they had been beat, I think, once or twice previous to that in the Munster Championship as well. So, yeah, I'd agree with Fergie on this one.
Jack wants to know, are Clare too reliant on Tony Kelly?
No, I think they proved that in the first two games, Ger, that they haven't. Like, Shane O'Donnell was brilliant in the first couple of games. Peter Duggan was brilliant. Ryan Taylor, Young Meehan that came on. So, no, like, even David Fitzgerald was scoring points from all over the field last weekend. So, I think, if anything, the first three rounds have proven that they're not overly reliant on Tony Kelly. I mean, Tony Kelly has a quiet game. It was in the first or second game, he only scored a couple of points from play one or two. But everybody else stepped up, so I would disagree with that, I think. And Tony Kelly, I think, is the kind of player that he doesn't ask, give me the ball every time. It's, if the ball comes, I'll shoot. But if not, it's a team game. And somebody else can do it. So I think the difference in Clare this year, I think there's a lot of guys in good form. John Conlon is playing brilliant. Cleary is playing brilliant. I think the whole wing half-back line, which is the launch pad for most teams, because they're on the receiving end of sharp hookouts or long balls. That's young David McNerney, John Conlon and Dermot Ryan. I think they've been outstanding in the first three games. So I think at the moment they're playing brilliant all over the field.
A quick word about Westmeath. Like, we constantly talk about how hurling is really stuck with the top tier and it's almost impossible for any team to join them. And it still feels that way. But results at the weekend, like the Westmeath one, will actually give comfort and encouragement to literally every other county down the hurling pyramid to think, you know, with a committed group of players and a committed group of administrators and coaches and an injection of investment, we might be able to at least progress to a point where we can dream of results like that.
Yeah, I agree with you totally there, Ger. And my mind has probably changed on this over the years in regards, you know, the gradings of teams, whether they're in the Lee McCarthy, Joe McDonough, Laurie Marr, Chrissy Ring and so on. Like, I think in this, like, and Westmeath have proved to the weekend, I think we have to listen to the teams that we're talking about. So that's the Westmeaths, the Leashes, the Antrims, the Offleys. So if they're saying they would love to play in the Lee McCarthy Cup, let's let them. I know sometimes you'll have results that don't, you know, do anybody any favours, you would think. But if they're saying that's what they need, we're not doing the work in them counties trying to build hurling. You know, and some of them, they're strong in football as well. We're not the guys on the ground. The guys, let's listen to the guys that are on the ground in Westmeath, on the ground in Leash. You know, the Cheddars, and these guys. If they're saying they want to play in the Liam McCarthy Cup, let's let them, you know, because they're putting in the work. And Leash have had some great results over the years. You know, the Dublin game, I suppose, springs to mind, but they've ran some of the senior teams close as well in recent games. Westmeath, you'd say as well, like, they're after a draw with Wexford, and Wexford were unbeaten in the National Hurling League up as far as the semi-final. But back to Westmeath, I'd say when I was hurling, they were very, very, very strong at club level. You had Clonkill, you had Raharney, they're still strong club teams. So if you have a good base there, you can build on it. Like, you know, like Brendan Murta, Owen Price, I remember playing Railway Cup, Shinty with these guys. They're as good as any hurlers in the country. And over a long period of time, and became friendly with these guys over the year, and hugely passionate, just as anyone from Kenny or Cork or Wexford or Tipperary or anywhere. So what a result, I think, for Westmeath the weekend. They took their chances. They got their goal at the very end. And, you know, fair play to them. But I'd say congratulations, because it's not easy. Now, they have form. They put it up to Kilkenny for long periods. They put it up to Dublin. So this result didn't come out of the blue. Westmeath have been hurling very well. Plus, like, they beat Kilkenny under 21 a couple of years ago as well, Ger. So, yeah. And listen, great. I think, listen to Michael Dighton there a couple of minutes ago there in your show. Like, what a result for both Offaly and Leash to be in a Leinster Minor Hurling Final. was it 12 or 13,000 people at it in O'Moore Park the other night. Like, these are historic occasions, and I think we should do everything in our power. As I said, my mind has changed over the years on this. I think we should listen to them, and, you know, if we should definitely take it on board.
Okay, one last question for you about the Dublin performance against Kilkenny. Like, unfortunately, it was too like the league performance. We kind of hoped that the league was, like most of the league so far, irrelevant, but it turned out not to be. And it's really disappointing that Dublin haven't been able to build on the club success that Coola had and the time and investment and effort and energy that's gone into that team over the last couple of years.
Yeah, you see that, like, I understand Coola, I understand underage the success in Leinster especially, but you see, you have to look at the consequences of them being a major footballing power. So when you're 17 years of age, you have a good minor, you know, career, maybe even some of them under 20, but then they have to make a choice. They want to be a hurler or a footballer, and most top stars are probably good at both, and they're choosing football. Like, you take Kilkenny. If Kilkenny, some of their top players had to, you know, if they chose a different sport when they became 18, 19, well, the history of the whole county probably changes. Say if Henry Shevlin chooses, I'm going to play football, or I'm going to play basketball. JJ Delaney, Jackie Turley. Say down in Cork, if Patrick Horgan or, you know, Christy Ring or someone choose a different, like, the history of your probably game, your county changes. And I think that's what happens with this, with the Dublin hurlers, that their top players are equally as good at football. And it might be only one every couple of years. That one could change results.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the result the weekend against Kilkenny, I was at Ger, and like for 50 minutes of that game, or like, it was combat stuff. You wouldn't know who was going to win it. But the difference was Kilkenny's class of scoring goals. That was, I felt myself looking at it. I know it tapped on the points near the end, but when the game was there to be won, it was the goals was the difference. When the ball was around the middle third, it was very, very competitive. Anything could have happened. It was just when, like, TJ Reid's, I was at the game in the stand out around midfield. When TJ Reid scored a goal in the second half, I thought he hadn't passed the ball in. That's how fast. So that's a guy hurling since he was 3-4 years of age in the kitchen at the, you know, when he's supposed to be eating his dinner, he's out hitting the ball off the wall. Like, that's where, you know, that's where them, it's a millisecond. Well, it's a millisecond that TJ Reid probably has seen the opportunity so many times. That it's like, you know, a Slumdog Millionaire. What did I do 10 years ago in this situation? This is what I don't. Bang, goal.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I think that was the difference, just the extra bit of class scoring the goals. Like Mossy Keown's two goals were, I thought they were phenomenal. They looked like 2-point opportunities. But no, last second, bang, hopped it off the ground into the corner. Like, even at the game, we didn't know where the goals until the umpire pulled his flag. That's how quick they were in. You're expecting them to tap the ball over the bar. And I thought, and the opposite of that then, for Dublin, they were hoping to get, you know, huge success on the inside line. That's where all the space is there at the moment. And but the Kilkenny full back line were phenomenal. Like Mikey Butler, he's really after, like, as a defender, he's talking about a guy going off with the ball, but as just a defender, he's flicking, he's tipping, but all on the ball. And Tommy Welsh and the other, our young Tommy, like, I thought he was outstanding again the weekend, and Conor Delaney. So, yeah, I think the full back lines are very important in the modern game.
All right, we'll get a chance to talk about Kilkenny a little bit later on in the season. Obviously, it looks like they're going to go deep. You wanted to give us a shout out this week?
Yeah, so shout out this week, Ger. I suppose this is kind of based on when I was young, Ger. I used to read this book, probably read it about 10, 15, 20 times. It was called Giants of the Ash. So Brendan Fulham, a man from Wexford, he was writing this book, and he'd list out maybe 20, 25 players. Likes of Christy Ring, Jimmy Dial. The records, I'd say two or three of the records were even in it, Eddie Kerr. But as a young fella reading, 9, 10 years of age, what are they doing? Like, it gave little insights into the greatest players of the game. You know, Jimmy Dial, he used to have a sheepdog. He'd go off to the sheepdog for the day, puck around the ball, and dog will get bring it back to him. Christy Ring used to go off with his, you know, Isle Lurie, but he'd bring a hurl and a ball and a bucket. He'd try and hit the ball into the bucket. And these stories are inspiration for young lads. And I just thought it was fantastic. So my shout-outs, I suppose, they're going to be based under my Giants of the Ash. And the third one up is going to be from the County of Tipperary, the J.K. Brackens Club in Templemore. And it's Eamon Corcoran. Number 5, Yellow Helmet. He was just inspirational. When I was 2003, my first year, and this is where my, I suppose, skepticism of video analysis goes, Ger. I was marking Eamon in the 2003 All-Ireland semi-final. And before the game, you know, the lads were saying, watch how he hits the ball. You know, it's your first year up. They're trying to watch where he runs, where does he pick up the ball. So I said, I'll do a bit of video analysis on him. And so I was looking at, obviously there was no kind of Sky that time at home thinking. So I was probably just looking at the previous game or watching the Sunday game, which I had to watch it three times, probably had to tape it. I had to watch it three times because first 10 minutes you're watching, but then you forget about it and you get totally lost in the game. So that happened about three times. So I think I gave up in the end. But went out to Mark Emanuel in that semi-final. He was phenomenal. But talk about Cork the weekend, the will to win that ball. Christy Ring used to always say, if you want to win a ball in championship, you have to go there with just a will to win, a confidence that nobody else was going to win that ball on you. Well, that's what I felt like marking Corcoran in that All-Ireland semi-final. And he was phenomenal in that game. There was no bones about it. And you know the way they say, you know, you should never meet your heroes. But marking him that day, he was everything that I was after looking at on the television. He was everything that I was after reading about. He was just awesome. When I played Interferms with the Bank of Ireland and I was on the same team as him for a number of years later on in my career. And like, I played with players that left everything on the field. When you go out into a game, the last thing your manager nearly says to you in the dressing room going out is, leave everything on the field. Give it everything. Well, I played with Jackie Turrell. I played with Noel Hickey. I played with Taggy Fogarty. From the Tullerone, I played with Stevie Marr. These were guys that you didn't even have to say anything to them. You knew these lads were going to leave everything on the field. Well, them boys were the best I ever probably played with. But Eamon Corcoran was just as good. Wow. And that's from playing against them with Tipperary and playing with him with the Bank. And this could be just a match in November against the Army. Play the Army every year in the Curragh camp. Just gave it everything. You're kind of awestruck playing beside him because he gives it everything so much. And Brian Whelan then, Ger, talk about reading the game. Like, Brian Whelan was just wherever the ball was. And how did he get there? He didn't know himself. He was just there. Eamon Corcoran was similar. Because Brian Whelan was fast. Eamon Corcoran wasn't terribly fast, but he was always where the ball was. You know, Fitzgibbon Cups, you look at the Fitzgibbon now, I know there's a bit of, I suppose, but back then, the Fitzgibbon Cup was one of the main competitions in the hurling calendar. That it was a Fitzgibbon Cup weekend, and he got player of the tournament 2 years running. That'll tell you how good he was. And the standard that time was, it was next to inter-county. And, you know, there was no one-off playing with your county for a couple of weeks, come back and play the matches. That time, when you were a Fitzgibbon hurler, you trained with him for a couple of months before, and that was your club, we'll say, for a couple of months.
Yeah.
And, I suppose, shout this to you again, why he's a giant of the ash, without a shadow of a doubt, Eamon Corcoran, Tipperary.
All right, good stuff. Good stuff. That must have been pretty intimidating for the Army team when they're looking, oh shit, it's Toby Walsh and Eamon Corcoran. Wow, I'm going to play inside forward. Who are you marking?
And hey, we own Kelly full forward and we've Keith Higgins on the wing. but who we were playing against her? You had Bonner Maher was playing for them, Owen Larkin, Paul Murphy.
All right.
Yeah, it was funny. If you have time, the one funny story, we had a lad, Chap Clear. You know, and he was on our team, and he's a great Kilkenny hurler. He's done Kenny Bannon for a couple of years, but his name was Chap, and he gave away a free around the half back line. And the lad in the Army thought his name was Chops, and when he gave away the free anyway, the lad I was marking shouts down the ref, "Now ref, that's why they call him Chops Clear." Well, his name was actually Chap. So what order? They were great games, but the Army, we lost a lot of them, Gerard. That was good. Like Kieran Brennan would have been over them. The Army team at the time, but they were great games in fairness. Who had played for them as well was Andrew Shotness.
Right, okay, wow, what a legend.
Yeah. Oh, they were real games, like, you know.
Tommy, we got to go. We could talk about this all night, all morning even. Thanks a million. That's good stuff. Cheers.
Thanks a million.